podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name's Suj. Not really. My name's James. No Suj on this podcast. Last week, I had the pleasure of catching up with three of our correspondents who support teams who are now in the Championship. Coming up, a chat with Mark Scorin about Huddersfield and Ben Tomo Thompson about Sheffield United. But first, a chat with Dara Curran at the Tinkermen, our Fulham correspondent, about everything going on at the cottage. Please bear in mind, this was pre-recorded before Fulham conveniently decided to buy goalkeeper Paolo Gazzaniga and attacking midfielder Harry Wilson. Enjoy the show. I'm now joined by our Fulham correspondent at Dara Curran at the Tinkermen. How are you, Dara?
I'm very good, James. Thank you.
It's been a busy summer at the cottage. Can I first get your thoughts on obviously Scott Parker leaving and going to Bournemouth?
Yeah, well, there was murmurings the last time I mentioned that he was linked with Bournemouth. I don't know, a bit of a sour note in the way that he left. He obviously wanted out, but there was obviously, you know, disagreements with up above Tony Khan and others. But it seemed from some of the comments that he made, from what I've been reading in The Athletic, that he wanted out even before that. So he kind of had his mindset on it. You know, he's had his time at the club. Maybe he just went a bit stale and he just needed something fresh. And maybe that's what we need as well, because it got a bit boring at times. So
is it the fault of the club, or is this with the manager in the case of obviously Parker leaving? Because I think now that it's all ended, we can see from the outside that, yeah, he was probably looking to move on this summer, irrespective of whether you'd stayed up or not, actually, because was unhappy about a number of things. But has a lot of it come back on Parker as well?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the club gets the full blame here. Like, when you look at the way the season ended, that we were a point behind Newcastle at one stage, and then we took 2 points from our last 30 points available. Like, you have to shift some of the blame towards him. Whether that was being too negative, just he just didn't have the ideas up front. Just couldn't score enough goals.
Now, as we spoke to you before game week 38, when we had you on Clash to Correspondence, we all thought you were going to get out of it after like the win at Liverpool and stuff like that. And then there was a succession of like the Wolves home game, the drop in the points late on at Arsenal. There seems like a feeling with the appointment of Marco Silva now that on reflection with Parker, actually the negative football came back to bite a bit. I think you scored 9 home goals in 19. That kind of seems unthinkable, considering it's a fine balance between, I think we enjoyed watching a lot of you, but you didn't score enough goals, mate.
Well, that's probably another criticism of Parker, is that these players that got him promoted, maybe they weren't good enough, but you've got players like Joe Bryan and Mitrovic who were pretty solid players, and he just completely isolated them and didn't even get a chance in the squad at all. Like, when you've got your top goal scorer who scored 20 odd goals the previous season, he's not even getting a game. There's something wrong there.
But you look stylistically, I think it's easy to say all those things in hindsight. We highlighted at the time that when Mitrovic came out the team, the football you started playing was better, I think.
Well, he almost had to sacrifice something in order to shore it up at the back a little bit.
Yeah.
And kind of just spread it. Like, before that, we had been a more possession-based team, and you had to kind of give that up. So it doesn't really suit Mitrovic when we don't have possession, because he's just not got that pace. From what I've seen of Silva before, though, he's pretty attack-minded, and I don't think he's going to change this season. I think he played 3-4-3 and 4-2-3-1 with both Everton and Watford. So that's kind of systems that we would have used in the last couple of seasons as well at Fulham. A lot of the players have been there for a number of seasons, and hopefully they'll be used to that. From what I've heard so far, a lot of the players are taken to him, and I don't know, like, all our players have kind of gone back, the lone players that we had last season, but then we've got a few more in. Like, you've got Jean-Michel Seri, who played today in a friendly. Like, he could end up featuring. We've got Tony Knockhart coming back. Who knows? I mean, I'm not his biggest fan, but if Marco Silva can get him going, then yeah. I'm all for it.
Well, Seri, just to kind of touch on those two players briefly, Seri was such a big deal when you bought him, and has obviously been kind of a letdown over the last couple of years that he's been out on loan and not really fulfilled the ability. Knockhart is absolutely proven at championship level. I think he's been promoted twice, I want to say, previously.
Yeah.
Knows the league very well. Obviously comes back in. Comes in under a new manager, so it's not kind of tainted with the, oh, well, the previous manager wanted me out on loan and now we're in the championship, he wants me back. He might feel like it's a fresh start all over again. So I think particularly in Seri, that's a really interesting one to follow, because I've been reading as well that apparently Marco Silva had perhaps tried to buy him at one of his previous clubs. So does rate the player. Knockhart, as we said, is obviously proven at this level.
Yeah, it'll be. I've heard that he does fancy him quite a bit, so we'll see what happens. I mean, if you look at the systems that he's used previously, he likes to have a number 10 and then like a more defensive midfielder in behind. Whether Seri plays that role or maybe he plays alongside the likes of Harrison Reed, a bit more of a dynamic sort of player. Then maybe I think either one of Seri or Anguissa will probably have to go this summer, because just the wages that they're probably on, and a few more will probably go. I mean, the squad at the moment, if it all stays, we should be pissing the league, but realistically there's going to be more outgoings before the season starts.
Is that genuinely how you feel? Because I think one of our concerns obviously towards the end of the season was highlighting just how many loan players you had who were obviously leaving. So Ariola, Anderson, Loftus-Cheek, Lookman, Maja, there's someone I've missed there, I'm fairly certain.
Anderson, did we mention him?
Anderson, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a chunk of the, you know, that's kind of five at the starting 11 from last season. Is Lamina your player? Was that alone as well?
Oh, that was alone as well.
Mario Lamina, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is a half a team, isn't it? Has gone back on loan and was quite important for you last season. I guess there's no chance of buying any of them, is there?
I think the option that was in the deal was, provided we stayed up, that there was an option to buy, but or an obligation to buy in some cases. So that's probably gone out the window. I mean, I'm sure Ariola was on stupid wages. I've seen him being linked with West Ham.
That's right.
But Anderson with Spurs and a few other boys elsewhere. I think Lamina was linked with somebody. Who the hell was that? Anyway, Southampton. He with Southampton. Anyway, regardless. But look, we have a few more to come in, a few more to go out. We're linked to Harry Wilson. I don't know if we can afford Harry Wilson. 15 million is a lot.
A monster transfer for a championship club.
Like, I saw Kieran Maguire. He's the guy who runs the account at Price of Football, and he posted our financial year for the previous season, and it didn't make for great rating. I know we didn't spend a lot this season, but we had no gate receipts. Like, you're depending on TV money alone, and I don't know what that's going to throw up. Maybe financial fair play will be scrapped. Who knows? That's kind of a bit in limbo at the moment.
Yeah, definitely is. There's obviously a relaxing of FFP rules, which are factual at the moment, different scale. PSG are obviously doing what they want with it at the moment and exploiting that. I'm not sure all clubs can. Obviously, one benefit to yourself is parachute payment again, mate, which obviously coming down gives you an advantage. Do you feel that you're in a limbo place where you could become the typical yo-yo club, where you are too good for the championship but not good enough for the Premier League?
It's what it looks to be at the moment, because the year that we went up, three clubs went up? Leeds, West Brom and ourselves. And aside from maybe Brentford, there wasn't too many more teams that you'd say like that would really possibly have a go out of it in the Premier League. So like two of those have gone back down. I look at that and like, if we don't finish in the top six, if we don't even finish in the playoffs, I think that's really a bad season for us. I think we have a good chance to probably come back up. But then again, it's then that you're in the same position again, where you have to almost turn over the squad, or you need to buy players who are just that little bit above the championship that can make the step up.
Marco Silva has definitely not been appointed as a championship consolidating manager. There is obviously a clear intention, as there should be, to come straight back up. What was your reaction when you first heard it was going to be Silva? Honestly.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either. I kind of had my heart set on on a Chris Wilder or an Eddie Howe if that could be done. But then there was other names in the mix as well. So all things considered, I'm quite content with it. And I think it was just dragging on for a while. We knew that Parker was leaving and there was nothing really mentioned of anybody coming in. So to get it all done and the closer the season's getting now, I kind of just feeling a little bit more excited about it.
Yeah, it's worth saying to the listeners that obviously because of what was going on with Scott Parker and the kind of, was it going to be mutual consent? He still had 2 years left of his contract. Fulham got wind that he wanted to go to Bournemouth. So Bournemouth eventually had to pay some compensation. Meant they couldn't appoint a new manager, obviously, till they got the agreement with Parker out of the way. So Silva was only appointed on July 1st, but actually, unlike the football club that I support, once he'd come round to making the decision, it looks like the football club acted quite swiftly. And it appears that Silva was probably first choice. I think Eddie Howe was possibly approached, but wasn't interested. Otherwise, it looks like Silva was the guy they wanted from what I've read.
Yeah, I heard Howe wasn't interested at all. So yeah, I don't know. He may have been lined up for a while. Like if you read into it that Parker wanted out, they obviously were looking. They knew this was coming somewhere down the road, so they probably had a figure earmarked to come in and take over. It'll be interesting to see what he does. I mean, my main issue is that he's been at clubs for very short periods of time, and he's just jumped ship onto the next big thing. So I don't want him to use Fulham as a stepping stone. If we have one good season, that he goes to another club.
Well, I think I read that since his spell, I think at Estoril was in Portugal, where he made his name, he hasn't spent longer than a year with anyone. I think maybe 15 months, I want to say, with Everton, maybe, is literally about as long as it's been. And obviously, Everton kind of came about because he was falling out with Watford, wasn't he? He was trying to make the step up, and I think that's happened previously. So the reality is, unfortunately, and this would go whoever the manager was anyway, mate. If you have an amazing season and then an Everton, for example, wanted to come and take your manager, there's a fair chance they're going to go. It's reality, unfortunately.
Yeah, especially for a club like Fulham. Like, it's happened to us far too many times. Keegan went to England. Roy Hodgson went to Liverpool and England. and amongst other managers. So, yeah, look, it's happened. It happens, especially in the smaller clubs.
Yeah, and it will again. Let's have a look at a quick look at this squad then, what you're left with. You spoke this time last year very highly of Rodak. I presume he'll take back over in goal, will he now?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he didn't. Bettinelli's gone. Yeah, I think he could be moving to Chelsea to make up their English quota of goalkeepers. You know, the way they usually have somebody random like Ross Turnbull or whoever it is in there. He was linked with them a couple of years back, actually. And I don't know. We have a couple of youngsters coming in at goalkeeper, but I reckon Rodak has it. Fabry is still there from the year that we got promoted. That's that Augusto Ramirez chap that you have there in your in your figures. Cyrus Christie comes back from Forest. Who else? Alfie Mawson comes back from loan.
He was at Bristol City, I want to say.
Stevie Cess comes back from Bristol as well, I believe.
I mean, I guess if we look to your strongest back four from last year, which is down to interpretation a little bit, depending on the system you were maybe or maybe not playing with, De Cordova Reed sometimes fitting in at wing back. But if I said the back four of Tete, Adebayo, Robinson plus one, if you're saying Mawson coming back, it's probably the most likely.
That I'd say Kongolo if he can stay.
Oh, of course, Kongolo, who you bought from Huddersfield, yeah.
But he's just had horrific luck with injuries.
With injuries, yeah. But he came in for the one game for Adebayo, the Wolves game, maybe.
Yeah, he was really good.
Straight away.
Yeah.
But if you can get that as a back four, and then you've got the likes of Brian, Christie, Mawson in reserve, that's strong, isn't it? And Ryan Sessegnon's brother, Stephen, as well, I think can play right back, can't he?
Yeah.
He's been out on loan as well.
It's one of the key features of Silva's squads is that he likes to concentrate on his fullbacks. He likes them to get forward. So Robinson's got a bit of pace, as we saw last year, and Tete likes to get forward and whip in crosses. I think he bought Luca Dean to Everton. So, and that year, Dean and Coleman, really good seasons. FPL players will remember Holobas as well at Watford and Kiko Firmino and amongst others. And he also had Andrew Robertson at Hull. So, I think those guys those guys could be ones to look at that will do well under Silva.
Who would you say is probably the first choice of the fullbacks on both sides if they stay?
Tete and Robinson.
Yeah, is it straightforward?
Probably.
Because Brian was good for you in the promotion year, right? At left back.
He was, but he got caught out of position quite a lot. A lot of our play came down the left, and as a result, teams targeted that and whipped balls in behind. He didn't have the pace that Robinson has, and I think that'll stand to him a little bit more. Nonetheless, I'm sure he'll get his game time as well. But for me at the moment, it would be Tete and Robinson.
Tom Kearney presumably would be available for you. Missed most of last season. You gritted your teeth a little bit there, mate. Why?
Oh, he's just made out of paper mache. Like he's. Yeah, I'd love to see him have a great season again. And I think he possibly could. It might be between himself and Bobby Deckett over Reid, maybe for the number 10. That's another sort of position that Silva likes to have, his number 10s coming into the box and latching onto balls. Sigurdsson's scored the most goals of his career in the Premier League at Everton under Silva. Who else? Decore scored 7 at Watford. João Mário scored 7 in 20 for Sporting Lisbon in that season. And he only scored like 11 for Sporting Lisbon in 5 seasons. So he scored 7 in 1. There was another guy called Fortuna, scored 18 and 27 for Olympiacos, who was a number 10. And this guy called Evandro scored 11 in 1 season for Estoril. So that seems to be the priority, is the striker, maybe Mitrovic or a Doucouré, a Deeney-style player would like occupy the defenders, and you'd have the number 10 coming into the box and one of the wingers tucking inside, and then the wing-backs overlapping.
Is there any chance the 10 could be Josh Onuma?
Potentially. I don't know if he has the all-round game or just that finesse at the end. It may be just a little bit lacking, but...
Because he was very much a part of the team as well that got promoted, wasn't he? Did he score a brilliant goal at Cardiff in the playoff semi-final?
He scored a couple of crackers in the run-in. Yeah, one where he juked past a couple of players and slotted it home. But hasn't really featured much. He got injured towards... It was in pre-season last year, or towards the start of the season, and just never really managed to establish himself back in the team.
Do you think, we spoke about the goalkeeper, the back four, and Guiss and Seri, those attacking players to play up off the front in competition, the likes of Knockhart, Cavalero, Decordova, Reid, etc. Harrison Reid's obviously still part of the squad as well. I know he's a player that you really rate. The one I really wanted to ask you about is the young boy who scored against Southampton, Fabio Carvalho. What have you made of him from what you've seen? And do you think he can be involved this year?
He could be. I know a couple of the guys have been called up to the senior training and are training with the camp at the moment. So I think the manager wants about 10 days, 2 weeks to kind of assess the team, and some of them will feature. It's happened in previous seasons in the Championship where we thought that younger guys were going to make the step up and kind of be featuring in and around the squad, and it just didn't really materialise. But I mean, he looked really bright, got his goal in the Premier League. I hope he can feature, maybe not as strongly like as some of the other guys, but Knockhart hasn't been doing much. I don't really like Carvalho, to be honest, either.
No, no, you guys. Don't. I think he did all right at times last year, mate.
He did okay. He's just like a bit of a headless chicken. Doesn't know what he's doing. I think there's definitely... Like this, he could progress and push himself into a spot there, because the guys ahead of him at the moment, I don't think they're all that. Unless we sign somebody crazy, but I mean, I don't think we're going to be splashing the cash.
Well, you could do, because obviously, as we've said, Silva's only been in the job for 3 weeks or so. So I understand that a lot of training has been assessing what he's got in the first instance. The one place you look light in the squad is obviously up front, where there are rumours, obviously, that Mitrovic could still go. And I think if a serious offer comes in, he's probably got a willingness to go as well. I don't think he's pushing or angling hard for it, but would like to go if the opportunity comes up. If he goes, you've got a problem, haven't you? You haven't really got an out-and-out striker. It was part of your problem last year. We saw it scoring goals. I think I want to say Decor Dover Reed was your highest scorer with 5, maybe.
Yeah, I'd go with 5.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Anyway, I can't believe if it's more. So, I mean, look, you could always add into that department, but that's the area of the squad that looks weak. But it's a difficult one because if he stays, he's going to come back in the team this season, isn't he? And he could easily be the Championship's top goal scorer again.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys just proven in the Championship, not really made a step up in the Premier League. I don't know. I mean, I think if Parker said he probably would have went, that's probably what would have happened. We'll have to see what happens. But from what I've heard, like in some of the WhatsApp groups that I'm in, some of the guys are like are reporters for certain newspapers and that, and they've got wind that he quite fancies Silva and he might stay. So optimistic, but at the same time, I know if a bid does come in, I just think this summer we might almost be saved in that the market's probably like there's not going to be huge money splashed around, and that could be the one thing that keeps him there for another year.
And I think as well that a lot of your best performers, I think particularly Ariola and Anderson last year, obviously on loan. I understand there was a buyout clause on Adebayor's contract as well for 10 million, but that's now expired.
Yeah, so delighted with that.
If anyone wants to buy him, they've got to pay more now, which is interesting because it looks a bright talent.
Yeah, I think it was 10 million and it expired there early July. Was it 13th of July or something? Or 10th? I don't know. It's gone. So happy that's done.
He'll be pivotal for you. I think if the majority of that squad stays together, I think you've got every right to be confident. So you should be. I mean, I think West Brom, Sheffield United will speak to the guys during the week as well. I imagine they'll be quite confident as well. To finish off, Dara, where do you think you finish?
It's hard to say at this point in time, just because I know there's going to be outgoings, but I'd be hopeful that we could finish in the top two. So I'll say second.
And finally, who do you think the strongest team in the Championship might be at time of recording? You can say yourselves.
I probably could, but I've just said we're going to finish second.
That's why I asked you, mate.
I don't know. I actually think Sheffield United could have a new lease of life under Jukanovic. I'd be keen to have another chat with Tomo about it. He messaged me straight away after they got appointed. So, yeah, I'll have to have another chat with him.
Of course, Jukanovic was obviously your manager previously.
Yeah, I was very jealous.
Well, we'll see a little bit later on this pod what Tomo's got to say for himself. Dara, thanks very much for your time, mate. Always a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll speak soon, mate.
Cheers. Take care. See you Saturday.
Bye for now, mate. I'm now joined by Mark Scoran, our Huddersfield correspondent. How are you, Mark?
I'm good, thank you, James.
Good. How are you feeling? Because I know for yourself, someone who regularly goes to, I always want to call it the McAlpine. What's the stadium called now?
It's the John Smith now.
The John Smith. I'd stick with the earlier one. And someone who regularly goes to football, I know you lost a little bit of interest over the last year or two because of COVID and part of the performances of the team as well. Are you going to be going back to the stadium this year?
Yeah, well, I hadn't renewed my season card just because I don't think I'll make that many games. But yeah, I'll try and get to as many as I can. Probably go to more away games if possible.
Nice. Be good if we're allowed to go and travel away from home safely, obviously. Did you used to get to a lot of away games then before?
Yeah, probably like 3 or 4 a season. So okay. Probably use the money that I didn't spend on the season card.
That's my feeling a little bit as well. Like my dad says to me, I want to go away from home more. And I'm a little bit like that as well, if it can be done safely. Because I think I ain't spent no money the last year on that I'd normally kind of budget to spend on Tottenham. And now the manager's gone, I feel a little bit better. Talk to me a little bit about your manager, because a lot of people might not be too familiar with him. Carlos Corberan, who I understand was part of Marcelo Bielsa's backroom team at Leeds. Yeah. What's your thoughts on him at the moment? How's he doing?
I think he's doing well. He gets some criticism from fans, but I don't think he's getting any sort of backing. We're getting by on free transfers and loans. And I think what he's actually doing with the resources available is really good.
Are you good to watch now?
I've seen the couple of friendlies we've had and we're looking pretty good, to be honest, yeah.
I think it's just an association. Oh, I've worked with Bielsa. The football must be attractive and positive then. Is that the case? Yeah.
Well, we started last season really well. We're in the top half of the table, playing good football. Then just sort of the lack of depth in the squad and the injuries just caught up with us in the end. Yeah,
I know Phil Hodgkinson took over the as chairman. I want to say as chairman in 2019, and has carried a lot of the burden from it. Was Dean Hoyle was the chairman before, wasn't it? When you got promoted to the Premier League, I know when Hodgkinson took over, he was saying, "Oh, I want to get us into Europe in a few years or so." And I think he's very much regretted those comments since. And I was reading an interview of him from springtime, where he seems a lot more considered and precise in what's happening. This is the last year you're going to get some parachute payments. And I think there's a little bit of concern about that. And I know this summer you've trimmed a lot of the wage bill quite a lot, haven't you?
Yeah.
So this players who have gone includes some familiar names to Premier League managers, Christopher Schindler, Alex Pritchard. There's some big earners who have left the club, haven't there?
Yeah.
Jaden Brown, Tommy Elphick might be familiar with a few. I never knew, looking into it, I didn't know that Umar Nias was a Huddersfield Town player.
Well, I mean, player, he might be.
He never played for you, did he?
He never actually played.
What happened there?
He came in, I think he just got injured before he ever got a start. This is what we do. We get these crocked players on the hope that they might be able to play, and half the time they don't.
And another player you had last year, who Arsenal fans might remember, is Yaya Sanogo.
Yeah.
He's now gone as well. Did he play a lot?
He didn't play a lot. He played a few, but he actually looked really good when he did play.
These signings make me feel like there was still a speculation amongst Huddersfield that they could probably push back if they got one or two big names in. Again, it seems like the remit for the club has changed a little bit now, where they're looking beyond that. I think it's probably Jonathan Hogg's probably the only player left from the Premier League team. Would that be right? I know he's taken over the captaincy now.
Yeah, he's the only one left from like when we got promoted.
When you reflect on it now, does it feel like it never happened, getting to the Premier League?
It's a bit like a dream. It's like we just sort of went back to the default of like Championship strugglers. Like, you look at the other teams that got relegated and they're like pushing to get back, and we're like struggling to stay in the Championship.
It never felt like, when you came up, that you spent massively. But it feels like the club, obviously, I think in your case, you came up and it was so unexpected, because the previous seasons before, you'd finished kind of safe from relegation, but definitely bottom half. There was no expectation to do it. So when it happened, there was a bit of shock, and there was no planning for it. So even though you didn't spend vast amounts of money, I think it reflected that it came back and it bit a bit, even though you had a long preparation and knowing in that second season you were going to get relegated from quite early on. It was quite clear. The club's really struggled to recover from it, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, actually, looking at the financial side, we actually really did stretch things quite badly. I think we actually were only just now really financially getting back onto an even keel.
What's the hopes for the season now? I guess, like, trying to push for promotion is unrealistic, is it?
No, I wouldn't have thought we'd do that. Personally, I think if we get sort of mid-table, I'll be happy enough with that.
Are you concerned about going the other way?
I think we'll be all right this year. I think we'll do slightly better than last season, although a lot of fans are quite worried. Personally, I think we'll be all right.
Fixtures are a mixed bag as well. You've got Fulham and Sheffield United inside the first four as well. It's a fairly difficult start, I would say, as well.
Yeah. Well, we've got to play everyone twice.
I'd rather true.
I'd rather we got the difficult ones out of the way early, to be honest.
But did you think... did you watch Barnsley a lot last year?
Not really, no. I didn't watch much.
Is there a rivalry between the two clubs? Is it quite strong?
No, I wouldn't say so, really. No, I think...
Who is it from your perspective? Leeds, is it?
Leeds, yeah. Leeds and then Bradford would be the two.
And then the Sheffield clubs after that.
Yeah, probably.
I see Jordan Rhodes has re-signed.
Yeah.
That's a bit of nostalgia, isn't it?
Yeah, he was brilliant last time, but that were in League One. So, you know, if we do go down, he might do well for us.
Was it Blackburn that bought him originally?
Yeah.
From yourselves? Yeah. He was so highly rated. A lot of the Premier League clubs wanted him. Is he a Huddersfield boy? Is that part why he's come back?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Not sure, sort of, if it's...
Well, probably, nostalgia.
Yeah, nostalgia.
Certainly a player who knew where the goal was. And actually, you've got a few interesting forwards. Another name people remember, and I couldn't believe that he was there. And you told me this, Fraser Campbell's at Huddersfield.
Yeah.
There's a young boy, Koroma, who was your top scorer last year with 8. There's quite high hopes for him, isn't there?
Yeah, like he were injured for like nearly half of last season. So if he stays fit this season, he could really kick on.
What system do you normally play?
I think it were mostly like a 4-3-3 last season.
Who would you expect to be the front three out of that as it stands? I know that there's probably ins and outs still to go.
Yeah. Probably Koroma on the left, maybe Campbell in the middle. Not sure, to be honest.
And Benza on the right, maybe? Is that where he normally plays?
Yeah, to be honest, I've been expecting him to go all summer, but now it looks like he is going to stay. So
looking at gaffer pricing, Fraser Campbell's 5.5 million. You think he might play through the middle? That's got to be interesting, isn't it?
No, not to me. I think he'll probably
get not going to get enough goals.
He'll get like 5 goals a season. So. Josh Koroma, though, he's my pick. I think he could do really well.
You're playing gaffer, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to go in for you then?
He's currently in my current draft.
Any other Huddersfield guys we should be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, well, I'm currently tripled up personally.
Okay, go on, tell us.
Not that I'm biased or anything.
You're allowed to be, mate.
Yeah. So I've got Pippa, the right back.
Okay, 5 million.
Yeah, and then Jonathan Hogg's 4.5 million, club captain. You know, he'll be like...
He's going to sit on your bench, is he?
He'll be third on the bench, but, you know, he's probably going to play every week, get 1 point after his booking.
Tofolo did quite well last year, didn't he? And Gaffer, yeah, I think, he's 5.5. Yeah. Did you not fancy him, no?
Yeah, it's between him and Pippa. It's, I think, just because Pippa's 500,000 cheaper. But him and Koroma down the left, I think that could be an interesting pairing.
I think Koroma sounds like, from the little research I've done, sounds like the one definitely to keep an eye on during the season. I'm not sure if I want to pay. I don't know if I can get my head over 8 million for a Huddersfield forward. It's really hard to adjust when you look at these players like David McGoldrick at 9 million and think, oh, I'm interested in buying him. Mitrovic at 11. Do I want a Huddersfield forward at 8 million?
Maybe I might do it for you, Mark,
but I think I need some convincing. I'm interested in some of the defensive players potentially, though. It's interesting what you're saying about Pippa. Is he definitely first choice at right back then?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And Tofolo plays on the other side? On the left?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Mark, pleasure catching up with you as ever, mate. Stay well. Stay safe if you're travelling to games this year, mate. Really nice speaking to you. Take care. We'll speak soon.
Right, thanks. Cheers.
Cheers, mate. I'm now joined by our Sheffield United correspondent, Ben Tomo Thompson. How are you, Tomo?
Doing good. Glad to be back on.
You probably thought you weren't going to be, I'm guessing, judging by that response.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I knew we'd probably do something, but, you know.
How you feeling? Because we obviously did a podcast together after Chris Wilder went, and then we had a chat with you before you played Wolves with Bradley Parker, which I think was the game where relegation was confirmed. We haven't spoke since. How are you feeling about the club and looking forward to the new season now?
Real looking forward to it, you know. Much more than I thought I was going to at that point in time last year. Kind of excited to get back in the championship and hopefully see us win some games, because it's been rough, you know, pretty much all the way back to the Villa game last season. We had a couple of good wins in there between, but apart from them, a couple of games ended back in the last season, it's been miserable.
I can't believe that you've gone down and the first conversation with me inside 2 minutes, you managed to get VAR back into the conversation by mentioning the Villa game, mate. At least you ain't got that shit to worry about this year.
No, I'm looking forward to that.
The managerial search went on quite a while, didn't it?
Yeah.
What's your reaction to Slavica Jokanović becoming the new manager?
I think he was definitely the club's number one choice. And I think majority of the fans' number one choice and my number one choice. I mean, he's got a proven track record for the championship, you know, 2 promotions. From what I've spoke to a few Watford fans and a couple of Fulham fans who said that he plays good football and it's good to watch. It takes a little time for him to, you know, get his ways around, but it sounds everything's positive from what I'm hearing so far. So,
how did he come to be the first choice then? Was that just the case because it had been such a while without hearing about anybody that suddenly, because it didn't feel like to me as an outsider, and you'd obviously be closer to the news than I was, it didn't feel like there were 8-9 names being linked with. I've been through that with Spurs, obviously. We've been linked with 99. It didn't feel like that with yourselves. It just suddenly felt like, okay, Jokanović is going to be the manager. So was that quite easy for you to kind of instill your feelings towards it because you weren't getting linked with, oh yeah, we're going to have Antonio Conte or something like
that? It's so un-Sheffield United. Because usually it's, you know, there's just tons of names thrown around and we get the third or fourth choice, not the first choice. So it's kind of a weird position to be in. And I think I'm right, and maybe I hope I'm right here, but I think he's the first foreign manager we've ever had.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. And I heard that somewhere on one of the podcasts I listened to, and I think that's correct, which is quite crazy nowadays.
It's unusual, particularly for a club like yourself. It's obviously been up and down a couple of times as well. For perhaps those who've just been in the Football League throughout the 21st century, it's more understandable.
Yeah.
But there's more obviously going down that route. Obviously, St. Barnsley, for example, have had a succession of foreign managers now and stuff. So,
yeah,
I think you're right to say that at Fulham and Watford, he was a little bit unlucky in both situations. I mean, he got Watford promoted and lost his job, basically, right?
Yeah. So,
how are you expecting the team to play? Because one of the big criticisms we had, and it's difficult to be critical of anything that Chris Wilder did, but was a little bit of stubbornness at times throughout last season not to change the system. Are you expecting different from Jokanović, or do you expect him to look at it and go, well, the bulk of the squad's still together, they've played a back three for the last 3 or 4 years, that's the way we should continue?
Yeah, so he plays with three forwards, or, you know, two wide forwards and a central forward. So when we've had one friendly so far in Spain against Europa Point, and he played 5-2-3.
Nice.
So he kept the overlapping centre backs, and then he played Fleck and Norwood in midfield, and then he had McGoldrick, Moussa, and Brewster up front, which is interesting. So
you've definitely got forward talent that should be very equipped to do very well at championship level. I mean, just looking through your forwards, you've obviously got McGoldrick, McBurney, Brewster, Billy Sharp, Moussa, and young Danny Jebison, who obviously scored at Everton as well. So, I mean, you kind of overly stacked there, actually.
Overly stacked, yeah. And they're all proven a lot. These are proven goal scorers in the championship. So, you know, I mean, Brewster did it for half a season. McBurney's done well there when he was in the championship. We don't know how many goals Billy Sharp scored in the championship, so the Football League. But I think that's a strength in depth. I think quality is still needing to be seen. I think, obviously, not many of them scored last season. Right? Apart from McGoldrick, I don't think many of them got more than one or two. So, and in Brewster's case, none. So he needs that first goal quick and early on in the season. Brewster, which I think I'm still a bit positive he's going to, you know, come good for us. So,
do you expect him to be part of that front three, Brewster? Because it almost there's a danger here that quite quickly, from being one of England's brightest prospects, that his career could disintegrate into nothing.
Yeah,
he's too good for that.
I think he's too good. I think you have to. I think he's probably should be our number one choice, but you know, I think him and McBurney and McGoldrick, I think he'll play McBurney down the middle, maybe McGoldrick and Brewster either side of him. It's kind of why I'm seeing if he's going to play three, but obviously we want to have one friendly. So it's kind of hard to tell if he's going to stick with that formation or how it's going to work.
Does that mean no plays for 50 million man Lee Smuso then?
Actually, he scored the other day. So I think he's on his fifth last chance again. So.
Bruce obviously has got experience at this level as well, because obviously he had the loan spell at Swansea before joining yourself, so it won't be completely alien to him. I certainly, as an England fan, hope that he's going to be in the team and get proper minutes and develop properly this year. I think I got the sense from last year, particularly in the game he played against Spurs, that his movement wasn't there. There was a lot of waiting for things to come to him, and he's got to be more aggressive in his mind because he's got the ability in his feet. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, from what I heard in training, I think Bill Sharp interview said that his finishing is unreal in training. So a talent's there, right? I just think it was a bad situation all around last season, right? For not only him, but a lot of the players. And as a young lad to come in, have all that pressure on, and we just didn't create chances last year. That's the biggest problem in our team is creativity from midfield.
So, is that where the club's going to look to strengthen? Because I guess, presumably, yeah. if you are looking at a 5-2-3, I presume that's going to be difficult to get a creative body in there when you've still got players like, obviously, Fleck, Norwood, Osborne, Freeman. These players are probably not going to get picked up. Sander Berge's still with you as well, isn't he?
Still there, yeah.
Yeah.
He said he wants to stay, but whether that happens, I'm still expecting him to move on if someone meets the clubs. I think it's 35 million is what they're asking.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
And you paid a lot for him in the first place, to be fair.
I think close to 20 million, I think it was. So, but, you know, and he was out for a while with injury as well. So if Berge stays, then I think we'll have one. Slav said he wants two midfielders and a defender is what was on his wish list. And I think they'll all be loan signings.
Listen to you, Slav said. you're on board, aren't you? I'm glad I'm playing.
I'm on board, yeah. I think, you know, going back to Slav, when we talk about it, bring it up, I think it's the right direction for the club because, you know, after a while, I think we just got to do something totally different. And I think he brings that, you know, foreign manager, different way of working. I don't, you know, there's still a pretty big group of Sheffield United fans who are still, you know, pro Wilder, backing Wilder.
And that's understandable.
I understand that, yeah. So it's going to take time, right? So, but it's tough. Yeah.
The irony is the majority of the squad's going to stay together, isn't it? I mean, at the time we're recording, there's strong rumours around Aaron Ramsdale, but then he wasn't part of the excellent first Premier League season you had in any case. I mean, if he does go, you'll be getting big money for him. And buying a goalkeeper replacement shouldn't be too much of a problem for you.
Yeah.
But the majority of the squad's going to stay together. This team that we admired so much going back 15 months or so, still looking at Baldock and Stevens in the wing-back areas. Hopefully centre-back's getting back fit. Although Jack O'Connell's had a setback, hasn't he?
Yeah, he had another operation. His knee is out for another 6 to 10 months, which is a massive
unbelievable.
I'm gutted for him, to be honest. Yeah. You know? I think he's 27 now, so he's going to end up being like 18 months to 2 years with no football. And it's really, you know, he was our best player when you know, all the way through this. You know, I think if he didn't get fit, he'd be really close to the England squad. You know, but at least been in the mix. I mean, he was unbelievable when we were playing the first season up. So, just that's a blow. So we need this new centre back. So,
do you? Because you stocked in there, aren't you? I know, like Phil Jagielka's been released, but you've still got Basham, Egan. In terms of wing back areas, I think many of us were impressed with little bits we saw of Jane Bogle last year as well. So, I mean, squad depth wise. You look strong, and we've obviously already recorded with Dara, our Fulham correspondent, and he said he thought it might be you that would win the league, mate.
Yeah, I think we're in a good spot. I think this team's, if we had the right couple of players, a little bit of energy in midfield, a little creativity, I think we're going to be right up there. And we got Luke Freeman back too, so I'm hoping he can get back to his best. I always liked him, always thought he'd be a good player in the Championship, but he had a bad season with Forest last year. I think he had some problems with his back throughout the season, but another one in the mix. So I think the good thing is we were so bad last year that nobody wanted to buy players, so it's kind of worked out pretty well.
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of that. I guess there's a little bit of fear. Again, we've obviously spoken to Mark about Huddersfield. And obviously, when they came down, I guess there were comparisons to what happened with yourselves. They didn't have a great first season like you did. But for the first 3-4 months, they shocked a few. They beat Manchester United, some decent results. They ended up just about staying up the first season.
Yeah.
But then the second season, it was kind of quite clear from the autumn, like with yourselves, that unfortunately you were going to go. And they obviously are stuck in a situation now where a lot because of finances, they can't push back. They're not doing anything more than consolidating. And I guess it's probably a little bit of a fear that if you end up finishing mid-table this year, that could quickly become yourselves as well.
Yeah. I can see that. I mean, I think now coming down to the championship now with the parachute payments is a massive advantage, bigger than it's ever been. But you're right. I mean, we'll see. I think we're in good shape. And this is the best I've ever felt about my club, where we're going and the direction we're going. So I'm happy. I think we're going to be right up there.
Ironically, one of the things we highlighted last summer when we had you on Correspondent Week, we spoke kind of accidentally about concern about wages, about the fact that actually there was a lot of players on low wages, and actually once you start increasing one or two, it's going to be really difficult to push the whole rest of the squad with that, maintain the motivation, etc. But actually, I mean, you've got a few of the... Jagielka was quite a big earner, wasn't he? Who's obviously been let go. I don't know what sort of wage Jack Rodwell was on, but he's obviously out the club now as well. Actually, wages is probably not going to be the problem for you, I think, that it would be for a lot of other clubs. And I think that's another reason why I can imagine people like Ramsdale and Berge, who obviously came into the club a bit later, are probably on a bit more than some of the others. And yet these are the players we're saying, well, if the transfer fees are right, actually they might be going. So it, and then you're just back to the squad that basically got promoted 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's true. We need to just add a couple. We've got some young kids coming through too, so I'm looking forward to that. Our under-23s did really well last year, and there's a few around that. I think you'll mix a few of those in, and I think we'll get two midfielders, defender, probably loan players. We probably won't have them for the start of the season just because, you know, if they're going from the Premiership clubs, it's going to they'd have to sort their squads out first, right? So... I think was the windows open until end of August again?
Yeah, it is this year, yeah. If you stayed with what you had, do you think this is good enough to come back up?
I think so. I do. I think Jack Robinson's good enough to play left centre back for us. I think he played well down the back stretch last year. I think championship wise it's good. You know, Basham's still tons of energy, Egan. I mean, if you look at that back five with Ramsdale, that's a strong defence. I mean, look at the amount of clean sheets we get. I know we're missing O'Connell, but I think that's going to keep quite a lot of clean sheets in championship picture this season.
And I mean, even if we reflect on last season, I know there were a few nearer the end, Leicester, Tottenham and Arsenal at home as well, but no one was dishing out many hidings to you, mate, and we said that all season long. I think anytime any of us seemed to captain an FPL player against you, and it didn't work out great.
Bruno, last season. I think I captained Bruno twice.
Smart man, yeah. but I think that happened to Kane. Obviously, we beat you 4-0, but Kane missed, didn't he? He blanked. So I think you're right. The defensive structure of the team now is interesting because there's a case to say you've come down with possibly inferior players than, say, Fulham. But because they're losing so many loan players, and they're admittedly they're getting a few back that have been out on loan from themselves as well, it's interesting that Dara thought that it might be you that would push closer. Now, I think it's interesting that I think you need to find a balance between, okay, you need to do something new under Jukanovic possibly, but if you move too far from this, it might go away from the principles that these players do have. They've obviously learned some bad habits, but most of them have good habits in terms of the way they want to play.
Yeah.
Just quality let them down a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's going to go away from the back five and the overlapping centre backs. I mean, that's going to stay. And I think he'll just tweak the attacking creativity side, whether we go with, you know, three midfield, we have number 10, or we play three forwards. I think with the options up front, there's a lot of different mix and matches. You can drop McGoldrick into the 10 and play him behind two strikers. I mean, there's a lot of different options, I think. I think you're just going to get a little bit of energy in the midfield because Norwood and Fleck in midfield's not, you know, the best for them. For that, if we're going to play with a two, in my opinion. But
they've got experience at the level, haven't they?
Yeah, I know Norwood. I believe Norwood was part of that Fulham. Was it Fulham team? I think it was part of kind of the Fulham team when they promoted. Yeah. So, I think there'll be some options. I think he's going to move it around, which Wilder never did. Right? You've got to change. You've got to adapt. You know, game by game. So, just a couple of bodies in midfield, maybe another defender, and I think we're in good shape.
Your first three look quite tough on paper. Birmingham at home, probably one of the weaker sides in the league. But then Swansea away, West Brom at home, I think makes that quite a difficult first three. Do you look at someone who's coming down the leagues? Do you look at thinking, well, Swansea lost the playoff final last year, West Brom have come down with us? Does that look a tough start? Or do you psychologically just look at every game now and think, winnable, 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 winnable? How does that work mentally?
It's kind of tough because, like, last year I looked and we had, like, Man U, Man City, Liverpool, back-to-back-to-back. So when you look at that, then you look at, you know, no offence to those teams, it's not as daunting as it was when you look at the fixtures in the Premiership, right? I mean, you're thinking sometimes there was, you know, it can, but, like, you know, there's certain months, stretches in the Premiership, like, where are we going to get a point from? You know? Yeah. Especially at the start, I'm like, where are we going to pick up a point? So... But yeah, I think it's a tough start. But like I said, it's a tough start. But we need to start well. I think that's a big thing. And just get a couple of wins and just, you know, get everybody behind. But from what I've heard of Mihajlovic, that it takes time for him to get his methods in. And I think both Watford and Fulham started slowly with him. It took a little time to adapt from what when I heard from the fans. So just don't jump on the backs too quickly. And then that's the problem with the Wilder effect, right? If you've got that group of fans and the, you know, Pearl Wilder still does that, do they, you know...
But not moving on from it's not going to be helpful to anyone. I completely...
I agree.
I get that because just to a lot of Tottenham fans would be like that with Pochettino, for example. But you've got to, for the benefit of what happens next, you've got to let it go. You can't keep comparing Jukanovic to Wilder. He's got to have a chance. I didn't compare Mourinho to Pochettino, I just compared Mourinho to Mourinho, basically. Yeah. The reason I mentioned the first three, I think importantly, is because the 6-game run you have from game week 4 to 9 of Huddersfield, Luton, Peterborough, Preston, Hull and Derby, they're probably six teams, Preston maybe not, there's six teams who you would definitely expect to be bottom half, I think.
Yeah.
And again, it's kind of a group where you're looking at it and going, oh, I want 16 points from those 6 games or something. It's got to be a shift in mindset, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be playing Gaffer for the first time this season. So I'm looking forward to that. I've been kind of dabbling around on that. But I've got three Sheffield United players in. So
who are they, just out of interest?
I've got Brewster, Ramsdale and McGoldrick.
There's no point in Ramsdale, mate.
Yeah.
Not fancy Baldock. I'm surprised you've not said Baldock or Stevens.
Yeah, I'm going to see a Baldock. I probably will end up switching from Ramsdale to Baldock or Stevens. I like Bogle. If Bogle plays, Bogle's attacking. So if Bogle plays, he'll be my straight on my team.
Yeah, I would be very surprised. I'll obviously be playing along as well. And on Friday, we were talking to Jamie and Angus from the EFL Fantasy Podcast.
Yeah.
I'll be very surprised if I don't start with Sheffield United defender. And I actually think in terms of your attackers, it's strange. For those who are not playing, it's really weird looking at like David McGoldrick at 9 million and trying to get excited about it. Ryan Brewster at 8.5. But if you can remove yourself from the FPL mentality of it, there's... In the defensive and attacking areas, there's some really interesting ones. I'd like Baldock or Stevens at 6.5. I mean, that's very interesting.
Actually. Did you play Gaffer last season?
I did, yeah. I finished about 60th, I think. I won't finish that way this year.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the podcast on Friday. So,
We will definitely talk about the Blades a little bit more then and see what the experts, they'll hate that, Jamie and Angus, but see what the experts think of Sheffield United this year. Where do you think you finished, Tomo, as it stands? I know it's difficult because it's kind of still a few weeks away.
Top six for sure. I'm going to go second.
Okay. Who do you think might be the best team, if not yourselves?
I think West Brom would be the other one. I haven't listened to Dara yet, but I know Fulham had a lot of loan players. Obviously, Scott Parker left, which that's kind of weird. I know he went to Bournemouth, right? So, and there's a lot of change there. But I think it'll be us and West Brom. You know, maybe Swansea. I don't know what Swansea's.
Cooper's just left Swansea as well. That's come out of nowhere. Time recording. Oh, wow. We don't know who's going to take over there. But yeah, Cooper and Swansea, just before we started recording, have parted ways.
I guess Bournemouth's the other one, right? But I don't know if they're going to keep all their players from last season. So
I think if you didn't finish in the top six, and this would probably go for Fulham and West Brom coming down as well, it would be a disappointment.
Absolutely.
Considering as well the three that came down last year finished first, second, and Bournemouth were in the playoffs respectively as well. I think, me and Sid are going to cover it on tomorrow's podcast as well. But that benefit, the parachute payments,
it's massive.
It's a little bit of a cheat code at the moment, but we'll speak about that tomorrow.
No, I agree.
Tomo, thanks very much for your time, my friend. Good luck for the season, mate. We'll speak soon.
Cheers. Bye.
Big thanks again to Dara. You can follow on Twitter at the Tinkerman Mark. You can follow at FPL_Terrier. And Tomo, you can follow at FPL_Blade. Still to come this week, tomorrow, myself and Serge will be having a look at the impact of parachute payments. Is it an unfair advantage to have them? Looking at some of the finances in the Championship and those who benefit from such parachute payments. Clash of the Correspondents returns on Thursday with AFC BNG, Neil Grover, our Bournemouth correspondent, and our West Bromwich Albion correspondents, Gemma and Harrison Eno. And on Friday, I'll be catching up with Jamie Roberts and Angus McPhail from the EFL Fantasy podcast. We'll be taking a closer look at Gaffer Fantasy ahead of the Championship season. Other than that, just leaves me to say thanks again to Dara, to Mark and Tomo. Cue music, please, Manchild. Sports Social Podcast Network.